Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your help. Thank you for going ahead of us. Thank you for providing assistance. We thank you for your spirit that is here. We thank you that the words will not just be words. We thank you for the impartation of yourself. We thank you for your divine assistance. We thank you for your grace by which you are willing to elevate us. You said, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Thank you for your righteousness that has made your grace available. David said, bless the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Thank you for the benefits of salvation. Thank you for the benefits by which you afford us the opportunity to be in the image of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God Almighty.
Thank you, Lord.
We ask, good God, that your word will be our spirit and life. Of our own selves, we can do nothing. We have no capacity of ourselves. We resist the proud. We give grace to the humble. Give us a humble heart.
Amen.
In speaking and in receiving.
Amen.
And we ask that you cause us to receive your grace. Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, very. Okay, Auntie noticed it. So today, I technically did not know that there would be the opportunity for today, but we bless the Lord for that opportunity. We'll seize the opportunity to round up the thoughts and see how the Lord will give grace. Amen. Some of my brethren are laughing at my thoughts. So we have been speaking about God's letter to man, what God is saying to us. And it's a communication from God to man as a whole, but it's a communication that is not relevant to a man who is not in Christ. It's a communication that is reinstated to the man in Christ Jesus. You see how that through creation he said many things to us, and ultimately giving us an understanding of the mandate, the purpose, the goal for which he created us, and what he wants us to accomplish. And one of the major parts we focused on was speaking about the different realms that exist in the spirit, and how that for an accomplishment of our destiny, our purpose in him, we need to come up. The Bible says that then shall the righteous shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. But the Bible says that God has set the sun in the firmament of heaven. But looking at it, we see that even this firmament is in seven dimensions, to which the sun is in the seventh. So by saying we shall shine as the sun, he is telling us that you cannot fulfill the purpose I want for you by staying on the ground. You will have to ascend to the higher realms. And so we began to look at what is the provision of God to assist us to ascend. Because in addition to fulfilling our God-given destiny, we also learned that the character of these different realms, higher realms, is that they assist your walk with God. Unlike an environment that is leading, just like Eli was talking about, winter is coming, there is a sphere that is given to much seasons, changing seasons. There's a sphere where the pull of gravity is very high. There's a sphere, it's just like if you even go below into the water, for example, you say somebody should be running in water, it's very hard. Harder than running if you are on the ground, because the environment of the water is resisting you more. Likewise, when you go higher, the environment assists, it does not impede, it does not resist your progress, your advancement. So it is easier for you to advance when you or flourish in God. The sun cannot, even if the sun has a destiny to be the sun, the effect of the ground level would stifle it from being what it's supposed to. It only as it ascends, it expands. Funny enough, God showed that with air. Air. Think air and water. If you take air and you heat it up, you just continue to heat it up. As it ascends, it expands. There is an expanse it can get to, but it will never get to that expanse until it begins to rise and it will stretch out itself. So this is a motivation for us to ascend. There is something the Lord wants. We you know, our Christian life has to have a relevance to God and accomplishing His purposes, not just what I can get, not just my Mercedes-Benz or my, you know, 5-bedroom house or my high-paying job or company, not the nice clothes. There is something more than that where God partners with us to bring, He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we began last week to look at what are the provisions of God to ascend, and we began to look at understanding two laws that would assist you in making any advancement: the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of sin and death. And we took time to look at the different principles contained in this law and how we can engage them to be able to advance. Since we have the opportunity of today, different thoughts. But following the trend of what the Lord has begun, I will just go in a particular direction. You know, sometimes in our work with God, is interesting. When you pray and ask for help, the Lord can speak in different ways. So there I was this morning, wondering what I'm going to do. Last night/this morning. And the Lord, see, the kindness of the Lord is sometimes you have to pause, and there are many burning bush experiences. You have to, some things look so trivial, but then the way you react with it will determine the level of life you pull out of it. If you observe what looks like a small gesture, it now makes you pause and say, you were actually listening to what I was saying. So then I'm thinking, and then the enemy wants to bombard my mind. You did not, I've not even received a direction yet. And so I'm thinking, Lord, it's fine. So I'm just there, and I'm not even a brother. She just called. And then as she called, she said, how far now? She said, what's up? So now you didn't drop for today. I said, yeah. He now says, I don't know, but say it is that sacrifices. I said, which sacrifices? All sacrifices that you were supposed to talk about, the dimension of sacrifices. I said, sacrifice. I said, oh yeah, sacrifices. I said, okay. He said, but sir, I just, you know, but however the Lord did, sir. And I said, okay. And now thought about it. I said, okay. Well, I kept, you know, doing my own thing, but I'm thinking, I'm going, and as I sat down, then the Lord started dropping one scripture, another scripture, opened the thought. Then with the course of the meeting, and I said, oh, okay, makes sense. I see the line. Now it looks very trivial, but at least I can just brush it up and move ahead in life. It's a call from a brother. But there's a way I can harness it and say, you know, he actually answered prayer. And that little lesson can now be the basis for which I handle a much greater task, where I'm faced with a situation and just Jesus will say, Father, I thank thee because you always hear me. So that is, and he was about to face a huge issue, and it's not even a baby issue he's about to face with. So sometimes it may be that that's the day the Lord wants to use you to raise the dead, but you are drawing strength from the fact that He heard me. So I thank you that that is a token of your faith that you need to engage and yield a very big result. May the Lord help us to pay attention to seemingly burning bush experiences, to appreciate the attention that God gives to us. I find grace to digress. You know, we were saying that the invisible things of God are made manifest by the things which He created, even His eternal power and Godhead. So there is how that He shows, which we have looked at in a dimension, the giving man a clue to the spiritual constitution of this world. There is another dimension to which He's showing certain things about Himself. That's why He borrows certain animals, the lamb, the lion. In fact, sometimes He wants to show that I'm going to judge you, He'll show the bear. They could represent different things, but He could interpose sometimes. And I know I've said this before, but little things are very helpful. The mystery of the octopus. Amen. And, you know, I remember the day the Lord put that thing in my heart. I don't know, I think I was actually thinking about it. What does it mean that a peace has the Holy Spirit? And I have the Holy Spirit. What does it mean that God is with Busola and God is with Deborah at the same time? They are both talking, and God can give her 100% attention, and it does not diminish the 100% they have given to Busola. How? And then the octopus was a revelation. He created a creature that has 9 or 8 tentacles. 8. So, brethren, I'm going to study the animal. 8, I mean. Oh, sorry. 8. It has 8 tentacles. And for each tentacle, it has, Lord has blessed us with many details. Now they are constituting it for me now. But now, each tentacle has a brain. Praise the name of the Lord. We thank God for this detail. We have blue, we have brown, and we have red. Amen. So, each of these tentacles has a brain. And then there's a master brain coordinating all. So the octopus could be doing one thing with this hand that does not take away from what he's doing with this hand completely. So God can be giving me his full attention, and he's giving me like full attention. If you accept it, sometimes why some people say, no, I don't mean none of God, and they go in prayer because they hear you. You have not understood that God has an allotment of himself 100% to you. So you will never be able to say, I thank thee, because you always hear. And because you cannot say that, you cannot walk the works of God. You cannot do anything, because whosoever will come before God must believe that is the reward of them that diligently. He said, without faith, that word faith, there is conviction. Without conviction, you cannot please him. God likes when you come and he said, ask ye of things concerning my sons and concerning the works of my hand commanding me. Like, I want you to come and ask me about the matters concerning the building of the grooming. Sometimes I think they say, you have groomed men. The God that groomed Elijah, the God that groomed Moses, the God that groomed Enoch, the God that groomed David, that's why, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who could have groomed this excellent one? And that same person is now the one devoted to grooming. He cannot fail. Even if you look at businesses, maybe Shark Tank or Dragon Den, the way they used to tell, they will say, I've invested in this company. They have yielded this in return. I've done this. Now I am giving myself to invest in your company. So there is an expectation of a result you should get. So when the Ancient of Days, you know, sometimes I used to imagine that when the angels come and talk, they don't used to, the expression on their face, there's no agitation. Say, that I'll be doing too much. There's a certainty in their expression, which is a kind of worship, as we will see in the different forms of sacrifice, where it's just a certainty. When you think of God, he says, and I saw a throne and one sat. and as you see a flame of fire, and a fire flowed from the immutability of his counsel. You know, God is just a boss, and he devotes himself to it. He says something. That's why when Gabriel came to meet Zechariah to talk, and he said, he told him, and the guy did not believe, he was in shock. He said, "I am Gabriel that stands before the presence of the Lord." Is he Abby? Is it not me? It's not the presence of the Lord I'm coming from. And I've told you this and you don't believe. Well, your mouth will not be able to utter anything contrary to the will of God anymore. It will be done. So that you don't go and set leg for the coming forth of this guy. Just stand aside. So, may the Lord help us to just magnify the Lord in our hearts. Appreciate the Lord in our hearts. I believe that's one way David excelled. He did not pause. He would take time. He said, "Praise the Lord. Bless ye the Lord." He would just come. He would just start to him who did these things, for his mercies endure forever. To him who did, he would take time, every single thing. You could have told one story in just a minute. You take this one and explain the rest for his mercies endure. For him that allowed his children to walk upon the dry land, he would take every single detail. He does not leave anyone undone. He appreciates for everything. And because of that, his heart is strengthened. So when that's why he did exploits. That a man should be a representation of the Son of God.
Amen.
So our ability to do the works of God depends on how much of an appreciation we have for God. And it begins with as little as, "I thank thee because you hear me." If you actually believe that he hears you, a direct relationship, you can actually engage the Holy Spirit, then things change. Because it's not just a routine. I'm not just praying for praying's sake. Someone is listening to me, and there's a real life I can gain from this interaction. Amen.
Amen.
We can begin from have liberty to do this. Let's go to Revelation chapter 9.
Amen.
I'm not going to say too much. I'm just going to read it. I know I was listening to some things through the course of the week that made me say, "Man, we really need to, we have to move on." It's not even, you know, when we're talking about last week, the motivation to ascend, one of it is woe to the earth and the sea. So, chapter 9, verse 1. "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw," this is not a meditation, so don't worry too much about understanding everything we're about to read. Just get the general sense of what's up. "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the power of the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the ships of the locusts were like the horses prepared to battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon." and in the Greek tongue is apolion. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes hereafter. Amen. A lot can be said, but like I said, that's not the goal. It's just to serve as a motivation for a lot can be said, but many prophecies, many of the things written in the book of Revelation are so imminent. They're so close. Like, if you look at world events and what's going on, like, they are so close. And it dawns on you that, man, I can't actually take Elijah, for example. He ministered famine to the whole land. But then the dimension of his sustenance had to be at a higher level. Else, he would himself would have been a culprit. Or not culprit. He would have suffered the plague. It took... So the dealings of his hearing with God was the measure with which he was sustained. The means by which people would have sustainers in the midst of the kind of things that are imminent would be at a level above the troposphere. Let me put it that way. You can't afford to be in the troposphere by reason of what is imminent. You cannot, it's a big war. In fact, that whole realm, from what we read here, basically, by the time that bottomless pit is open and this thing, that description there, that is the whole troposphere covered in that realm. You can't afford to be there. So, there is a measure with which we handle life from our five senses. There is a measure with which we interact with things on a very purely reasoning form. That if you go about life that way in that season, you will definitely fall to deceit, to the errors of the enemy, to attacks, part of which is what Eli mentioned. Different waves of things would hit people that except you have moved. There's no way, like a hen and a chicken. Look at the kind of thunderstorm that started yesterday or so, day before yesterday. An eagle can have, I say hen and chicken, sorry, chicken and an eagle. An eagle can afford to go because it has, over time, worked an ability to do so. The chicken will just bear the brunt of it, and if it so happens to be where a lightning decided to strike, it will die. But may that not be our portion. So we looked at that verse just to see. I'm just having a restraint not to say some things. But yeah, we don't have time. We actually don't have time. We don't have time. We don't have time. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 3. Just get the motivation and then we'll go quickly into the sacrifices. If there is time, then we will see what liberties we may be permitted. We just want to look at our Lord Jesus Christ in view. Hebrews chapter 6 calls him, he said we have a forerunner that has for us entered into the veil. Say we have a hope that entered into the veil without the forerunner. As for us enter, even Jesus. So, what is behind the veil, the Ark of the Covenant, represents our hope, in a sense. And we have one person who has gone to show us this hope. In view of this, we want to look at our Lord Jesus Christ as an example of one who has, we're talking about realms in God, one who has ascended on high. He said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. It's interesting. This is what Nicodemus is saying, a teacher comes from God. Somebody that does miracles. Something he has not. In another passage, in Matthew chapter 9, I think 28 or so, he said, after he had cast out the devil, he said, it was never so seen in Israel. Now, this is not just Israel of their time. Even if they go through the chronicles of their books, it was never so seen. They've not known a man. Or even if they transact with other nations and say, yes, see, they have not seen a man operate in this dimension. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you. So the man is looking at him, hey, teacher, come from God. But Jesus is telling him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he begins to talk to him about the kingdom. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily I say unto you, except the man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto you, we speak that we know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And then he went on. But that verse 13 is actually why something we came to take note of. Where Nicodemus, to give us a sense, a character of how that we are all upon the physically speaking, but then there is a level of life we ought to operate. Our presence in the community of men, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our environment, should be that people say, it was never so seen in U of M. It was never so seen in Winnipeg. In all of Canada and North America, it was never so seen. Some will say, we know that ye are a teachers, come from God. But that is what Nicodemus is seeing. Nicodemus is seeing a teacher come from God. Why is he saying a teacher come from God? Because the wisdom he's dispensing is not from here. He is dispensing the wisdom with understanding and authority that goes above all the scribes. Plus, he's able to do miracles that he knows that are not physical. They are not normal. This is Nicodemus' lens. But Jesus is telling him that I am the Son of Man in heaven. So he's looking at an outplay of evidence, of life, of truth, of capacity. But the Lord Jesus is telling him that even the Son of Man, which is, as I'm talking to you now, the Son of Man, is in heaven. The presence of the Son of Man in heaven is the reason why you are seeing what you are describing. Teacher come from God, working all these miracles. Now, but in this heaven that the Son of Man is operating in, he says, no man has ascended. Now, we have been speaking about ascending to higher realms. He says, worship the Lord in the firmament of his power. Amen. It is an invitation to the people of God to come to the firmament of power. God wants to have fellowship in excellency. Say, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. He wants to have interaction with the mighty ones because he is mighty. So, a lion will not be having fellowship with the and the hyenas and all whatnot. He wants to have interaction. If you see them playing, the lion and his cubs, they're just, because he knows that this is, he may be young, but he knows that I look at myself and it tells me what you will be when you grow up, because that's where you came from. So he said, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. The Lord is calling us mighty. And he said, let us have fellowship. You know how some big men, you know, and they want to have a meeting. They're in Nigeria. Say, why don't we meet in the UK for the weekend and just discuss this issue? They could have just met in the UK. But they used to do this. They just, you know what, why don't we just, we can just go to Dubai in 2 weeks and we'll just have this meeting and review. That meeting, the meeting itself may not be up to 2 hours, but they will go to Dubai to have a meeting. How many thousands of, it's just, you know, amen. It's what they do. But the Lord is saying, I want to have fellowship, but it's not on the ground. You see, in the firmament of power. Come, let us talk. Let us review the issues of life, the governance, the domain. Let us have an impact. That's why when we mature in our thinking and our work with God to an estate where we have an appreciation for the establishment of His kingdom, of His purposes, He's excited because He can interact. That's why in Zechariah He said, "These carpenters have quieted my spirit," meaning they have brought peace. So the Lord was not agitated as in worried, but when He has a burden concerning an issue, it stirred up within Him. And a body of people moved to execute it. And it really is done. He says, "They've quieted my spirit." So such are the people He's inviting. He says, in the firmament of power. But now men have come in some dimensions. We have Enoch. So that's Noah. We have all these men we have been talking about. We have Moses. Moses, you know, and all these guys, they ascended to some realms. But Jesus is saying that no man, in the dimension that you are seeing and describing, no man has come to where I am. Yet He did it. He didn't call Himself Son of God. He said Son of Man. So He's showing that there is an estate intended for man that no man has gotten to. I have come to show it to you.
Hallelujah.
And what you are seeing and describing is the Son of Man in heaven. And this is a character of the kingdom. The kingdom is open for a people to be invited to higher realms. Meaning, in the thorough definition of the kingdom, it should not include the earth, in a sense. Because the persons who constitute, when I say kingdom, I'm not talking about the rule over all realms, but the family of heaven. That the kingdom of heaven that administers that kingdom, that family are all heaven. They are people who their court of their Dubai, their UK, their court of fellowship is a firmament of power. So the Lord is calling us to ascend. But He has come to show that there is a gateway. You can go much higher. And you know, there are things that can be said. He says we can shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. But in what the way He created, the sun is the government for this world. But if you move in science, you see that there is another system where the sun is a star for the solar system. There are other systems. So when Paul will say, "Don't you know that we will judge the world?" That's the sun dimension. He said, "Wait, don't you even know that we will judge angels? You've crossed the solar system for that one." So, but the Lord Jesus, as a man, ascended and is standing in a level of life in the heavens. And He's manifesting things, which the Bible says that He did not even, not everything He did is recorded. So it's not an adult, it's who man is destined to be. An ascended man to the heavens is a teacher come from God in the lens of every other person. Is a teacher come from God. Is one who does miracles. Is one who basically, you can just summarize miracles as things that are beyond the natural. A man who is able to invoke things that are not in the same plane as the rest of humanity. He says, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So this is what is open to us. This is what we have been called participate in.
Amen.
So that by God's grace, those around us can have such a testimony.
Amen.
Now, having said that, in line with all that has been said, we mentioned, okay, let us go to Judges chapter 13 as to see the premise for which we would use this passage. Judges chapter 13. Though I've mentioned this before, but this is where the angel came to come and meet Samson's parents. From verse 15, Samson's father was talking to the angel. He said, "And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat thy bread. And if thou would offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? That word secret in verse 18 is actually wonderful. Why askest thou after my name, seeing it is wonderful? See, angel, because he's prophesying to say my name. Wonderful. And the sons of God, we ought to know our estate. But moving on. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven, which is a key phrase, when the flame went up toward heaven, that the angel from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. So, one thing this angel has shown is, which we have spoken of in last week. They came upon an altar, they offered. As the flame of the offering ascended to heaven, the angel ascended with it. As though the offering upon the altar was a gateway for him to ascend. So now, having said this, we now say, okay, what are the sacrifices we can offer upon the altar? And the way the Lord put it in my heart is to speak of it in the following manner. We'll begin with Psalms 141. And then we'll see that basically the Lord is saying the same thing to us from the worship, the prayer, and exhortation. So we have seen that offering sacrifices upon the altar, which as the flame is directed to an ascent to God, we can also move with that offering. So that means the more our sacrifice ascends, it is a provision for us to move with it. So then it also behoves us to say, okay, what kind of things do we sacrifice, do we offer, so that we can rise with the offering? And an example here is a sacrifice that did not appear, it may not appear apparent as a sacrifice. So in Psalm 141 from verse 1, David says, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth. I've misquoted. We'll come back to that one, but that's not what I'm looking for. Sorry, Psalm 27. Psalm 27 from verse 4. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacles sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So now, sacrifices of joy. Sacrifices of joy. Who would have thought that joy is a sacrifice? And if joy is a sacrifice, then it makes us to ask, what is a sacrifice? What qualifies something to be a sacrifice? David said, I will not offer unto the Lord something that does not cost me. So our framework where we find ourselves in this earthly realm and having feelings and expectations and disappointments and stuff like that sets us up to have ingredients for sacrifice. That's why in this scenario, he's in a situation where ideally, by normal human reasoning, he's supposed to be sorrowful. Why is he happy at such a time as this? But if in the time when you would have been sorrowful, you would have been sad, you would have been unhappy, you would have been disappointed, you would have withdrawn and say, let me just be by myself. At a time when the circumstances around you is informing you to act in a particular way, you, for God's sake, choose to do the contrary. That's an example here. The sacrifices of joy. Where it says, no, I will come and sing. Though it does not make sense, I will come and offer. It is sacrifice because it is contrary to how I feel. I have to go against my inclinations to present this to God. And in offering this kind of sacrifice, following what we saw in Judges 13, as it ascends to heaven, the man who offers such a sacrifice will find himself elevated. That's why you may have had an example where you may be in a situation, then the Holy Spirit will prompt you to do something along the lines of joy. Maybe sing, maybe worship, maybe just change your disposition with, it says, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. With the mighty power of God, change your disposition and be joyful for God's sake. When it is for God's sake, you may just find that, you may feel lighter. You may feel like if you're sensitive, you'll feel it. But now, this example gives us a license to many other sacrifice definitions. And they just so happen to be in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, the popular fruit of the Spirit that we know. But it turns out that each of these fruits of the Spirit, because they are contrary to the carnal nature, are in themselves ingredients of sacrifice. So, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So, here we have seen joy, the sacrifices of joy. Someone offends you, or maybe not someone. Maybe you have hope. He says, hope deferred is weariness. So, if in looking up to, you're looking to God for a breakthrough, you're looking to God for something, you're praying to God, or different things, some there's a delay in a phase of your life. There are things going on that want to just make you feel a particular way, and you say, no, for God's sake, because I magnify God. I magnify his power because I judge God faithful.
Yes.
I would, he said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So I look into what I believe God can and will do, and I rejoice with the joy I will have when it happens now.
Amen.
The sacrifice of joy. For doing so, you will have an elevation in God. So, you see that living these fruits of the Spirit actually are a means of ascendance in your day-to-day life. So, drawing from what Eli was sharing, we'll see that, look at the first one, love. And you now go and look at all the ingredients of love. Suffering long and is kind. Envieth not. Does not boast. All those ingredients like that. So, when you find yourself in a way, in a situation where, okay, you have been offended. or something happens, and there's a natural reaction that should flow. But for God's sake, you choose the contrary and you offer it. He says, as it ascends to heaven, you have an ascendant. So it's a mystery of God. It's a mystery of God, where in the different systems he has created and put in place, it's part of the spiritual realities that as you offer that sacrifice to God, you, as if you are sensitive, you just find yourself having an increase, an elevation. You feel lighter. You just feel the joy of the Lord coming to you in a way that does not. You just feel the attention of heaven. He says angels came and were ministering. You just receive the ministrations of God. That's a sacrifice of love. And I'm sure by the time we digest that, we can get more examples where we just, you choose to. He says the labor of love. The labor of love. That word labor actually means to be beaten. So you are choosing to do the will of God even when it is not convenient. All for God's sake. That is a sacrifice. As it ascends to heaven, you ascend with it.
Hallelujah.
We have seen joy.
Amen.
There is peace. I want to skip to faith. But peace is, what do they call it? There's peace towards God. There's peace with your brethren, which I believe Eli has talked about. But anytime, in all of these fruits of the Spirit, anytime you choose to walk in them, contrary to what the innate nature wants to do, you are making a sacrifice. It is costing you, and therefore you have an elevation. So, blessed are we when we have offenses. Or blessed are we when we have things that seem to provoke a contrary reaction, because it's an opportunity for you to ascend. You seize the opportunity and make an offering. As it ascends to God, you have an elevation. And we have every motivation to elevate, because war, and that war is not funny, and that war is coming fast, and portions of that war are crystallizing as early as next year.
Did you hear you?
But
as early as next year.
Oh boy. I don't know. I feel okay. Let me move on. Let me talk about the sacrifice of faith. I'm sure we can go on and just digest based on the framework. We can see the fruit of the Spirit in the context of sacrifices. But the sacrifice of faith, we have that as an example. Auntie basically spoke about meekness. But faith, a good example is Abraham. And we should look at Romans chapter 4. This one, I experienced it very, very helpful. In fact, this is one of the sacrifices you can offer many times, and sometimes the enemy contributes to assisting to make the sacrifice. Because by the time he tries to come and woe you, just offer sacrifice of faith. So every doubting situation is an opportunity to have an ascendance. Romans chapter 4, where is Abraham? 20. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise being might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the Lord, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and collect those things which be not, as though they are. So God's attitude towards us actually also sets the stage for the sacrifice of faith, because he will not look at what you are, he will be calling you what you will be. He says, he called those things which be not, and though they are. So he looked at Gideon and said, thou mighty man of valor. And the guy is thinking. Or he looks at Moses and he's giving him a very long instruction, completely threw away the fact that he's a stammerer. That does not even, he didn't factor that in. So now, God, some people would have called it mockery. He comes to come and meet this guy who has been, his wife has been barren, they've been struggling to have a child. He says, I'll make you father of many nations. You would have thought that if I'm going to get to many nations, maybe I would have started at about maybe 30 something, 40. But 75, the promise is coming. You wait until like 100 before anything happened. Yes, I'm supposed to be. But God set it up like this to give us a consolation, because if he's to be a father, then there is an element of the character and environment of his faith that will replicate itself in us who will be his children. He said, who against hope? Yes. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and collected those things which be not as though they were. For who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. I mean, this who against hope is a very funny phrase, contrary to hope, because hope, as far as many people are concerned, there is a normal scenario where hope will show up. And imagine hope as a person, and hope just say, okay, this is your situation, I'd like to be present, you know, I believe there is hope. And another one is go, and when hope is present, I believe there's hope. In Abraham's case, hope was still there for some time. Hope left and said, so there is no hope. Abraham did not say, okay, there is no hope. Who against hope? In the absence of hope, he still believed in hope. Just because of that which was spoken. He says, so shall thy seed be. He says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not. That phrase, he considered not, has been the new element God has given him. And immediately he thought wants to pass through it. I consider not. That's my new thing now. He considered not his own body now dead, when he was 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, that's conviction, that what he had promised, he is able to perform it. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. So, here was a man who believed God all the way. He staggered not at the promise. And how did he do it? He considered not. I like the fact that God went to God and made, the time God did it, he said, he considered not his own body now dead,
and also that of his wife.
Nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, the time and the environment God chose. His body is dead. Sarah's womb is dead. Now, how many of us feel dead relative to divinity? You come and God, like he came to him, he comes and looks at you, the part of the flesh will be given the kingdom. Shall make a partaker of the divine nature. He comes again and says, you will attain to the fullness, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And he says, I will make you to be in the image of the Son of God. You are looking at yourself and you are looking at the Son of God, and you cannot draw a line, a plot. You cannot see. It's hard. But how do you follow after the example of Abraham? You consider not. So the enemy, his ministry, just like we learned last Sunday, is doubt. When it's in the doubt realm, he will come and finish you. But you have to just be the Lord. The enemy's ministry is to make you consider. I say, but Abraham, let's look at it. Okay, have you heard this thing ever before? Your body is dead. Is it not okay? Will God magically do? Won't you sleep with your body? Your body is dead. I won't be dead. But what can? Just look at it. So the enemy will come and say, but look at you. So you want to manifest. Okay. Okay, let's look at it. Your prayer life. How has it been? Think. Okay, let's live prayer life. Or you time it for you. You do, someone offending, you just provoke. You just say, you even come and quote the scripture for you, partake of the divine nature. You would look at yourself and now say, okay, now, how? Okay, I'm sure there are other people. Maybe you bring up one brother or one sister, somebody is doing something. I'm sure, probably, You. I mean, consider the fact that you have just done. Even if you want to begin to correct your way, you would have. There is where you're supposed to be by now if you are heading towards divinity. But that is the very environment. Abraham did not think. There was a time when he thought, I can do. God frustrated that one. But there was a time when he could not contribute. There's nothing he could do. Yet there's a promise. Many of us, it is very easy. Even look at Job. When I was looking for a job, you apply. You are afraid to hope that you will get that job because you have set your heart, and we don't want to have our hopes dashed. Sometimes it's hard to recover from a dashed hope. So you apply and you don't want to set your heart. Then the will of God, you don't be using the will of God to lie. The will of God be done. So that if it does not happen, you say it's not the will of God. You just do. But simple, I'm only giving that example because we can relate. To set your hope up. Now, imagine, that's why it's a sacrifice. For how many years of deadness, yet his hope was, he said, being fully persuaded. It's not that he went with it gradually, he staggered not. That's the sacrifice of faith. Where, contrary to what makes sense, you still choose to believe, to hold a firm persuasion. That kind of persuasion is a sacrifice that as it ascends to God, you will ascend with it. And then it is in the course of giving that sacrifice that you begin to get a witness to what you have been called to. You begin to see realities. You stagger not. You consider not. Different times, different things. Examples, but just get into the habit of I consider not. When you do that, you are offering to God a sacrifice of faith, and that is a gateway for you to ascend. You will just find that another one, which I mentioned while we're praying, I was praying. A funny time, you want to pray. The time when you should pray in the spirit, you say pray without ceasing. And you want to pray. Yet there is resistance. You say, I consider not. Many times I've considered not myself into prayer. You say, I consider not. By the time you consider not, like 3 times, the 4th time is tongues. You just, I consider not. You just an ease. Because as you are offering, you are elevating, you are ascending. So now the Lord mentioned 2 blind men. They were crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he came and met them and said, believest thou that I can do this? And their response, their cry and their response was the sacrifice of faith. And there we see the response of the person who said, oh thou that heareth prayer. They said, yea, Lord. And he says, be it unto you according to your offering. But he said, be it unto you according to your faith. But it is by reason of this sacrifice, then be it unto you. And so they received their sight. Now, many passages in scripture show mysterious principles where it says, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. And I have actually had examples like that where the day before, my heart is feeling somewhere about a particular subject, but I keep prophesying, I keep considering not. The same thing repeats itself the next day, and you just find an ease. And then you would have walked in the ease before you catch yourself and say, yeah, just yesterday I was vexed on this very same, or I was, my heart was. So many times when you engage these sacrifices in faith and in other dimensions, you would have ascended and walked in ease in the higher dimensions before you realize, wait, I've actually shifted. I'm not where I was yesterday. It's not by, you didn't try. You just offered and found yourself somewhere else when the exact same thing repeats itself. May the Lord expand these words in our hearts. Pray with me. There is one other sacrifice that is interesting. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Long-suffering is very interesting because sometimes God takes you through a season. And when you're in that season, it requires you to be long-suffering. If you are faithful to your spiritual life, you will find that you're actually growing in that period. That's because of the sacrifice. But moving on. Meekness. Gentleness, goodness. I think it's meekness I'm looking for. Don't worry, we'll round up now. If we had more time, we would have said some interesting things, but I think the Lord will have us keep it there. Yes, meekness. Meekness is humility. Where is that passage? Psalm 65. Psalm 65 from verse 1, it says, praise waited for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall all the vows be performed. O thou that hearest prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come. Then this guy made it. You know, there's a way you meekness relative to your brethren, and there's meekness, humility relative to God. You see, God resists, he's like a magnetic force. If you are coming with pride, his person resists, he resists you. You can't draw, it's an unconscious reaction of God to just resist you. But he gives grace to the humble. So, he says, iniquity prevail over me. As for our transgression, thou shalt purge them away. I say, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. He said, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy heart, even of thy holy temple. My terrible things in righteousness will thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them afar off upon the sea. Which by his strength setteth forth the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwelt in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy token. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. The realization in verse 4 is a benefit that is afforded when one offers a sacrifice of humility. Where the natural tendency to be proud wants to prop up, but then you choose to be meek. He gives grace. I skipped something in faith. But I'll just comment on this. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach. You see, as we mix these different sacrifices to God, we see a reaction. That's why an ideal progression is as we carry out the fruits in the level of detail of working that the Lord is doing to us, a thorough work. Sometimes the Lord, for the purpose of accomplishing his business, just superimposes certain things to work in work. But as we carry out these fruits of the Spirit, a sacrifice unto God, we find ourselves elevating to higher realms in the firmament of his power. So here, the David pauses and looks and says, I have no capacity of my own self. He looks at himself and says, I cannot glory in any of these things. So there is a provision whereby God can choose and cause somebody to approach.
Hallelujah.
That approach is a measure of ascender. So when we come before God in humility, in brokenness, it's a broken and a contrite heart, he cannot receive. You come and you are broken before God. That's why you find that anytime you come in true brokenness, sometimes for me it manifests as when I am praying. There are sometimes where the prayer is like a conversation. I'm just talking to God. It's a funny example right in my head. That was my wife. But when I'm praying some kind of prayers, it's just a gentle speech to God. She said that she'll hear the prayer and it's making her heart to beat. Why? Because it's a very sincere, very, I don't know how to describe it. It's a very sincere, very gentle, very broken, very honest communication. That you just hear it and it's like, it just feels real. It's not with all the, it's just, and so anytime I'm just talking to God, sometimes it starts with a lamentation. Or sometimes I'm just bearing myself. I'm just taking stock of my iniquity before God. And I'm just going like that. Or sometimes I'm just thanking Him. But you're just coming in a broken state. Before you finish that prayer, that's my experience, I find a measure of ascent. I just find myself in an environment of strength. Because what happened there is you have offered a sacrifice of meekness. You have come broken. Say, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our Maker. You have acknowledged Him as Lord. And you have just, even if you had any, sometimes a preaching may have gone, and you just come broken. I want to thank you. And you just find a let me borrow something a preacher says. You just find ventilation. Because that's the best way to describe how it feels. Like, it's literally like a breath. It just, and it's not that it's blowing on you, it's blowing through you. When you come broken before God, you just, in meekness, and you just, Lord, help me. You just find an elevation. Now, in that sacrifice of faith, which we would close on, it's interesting to note, it says, we are saved by grace through faith. And then, it now says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. But then he also says that we would cut short the work in righteousness. Cut short speaks of time. The inverse of cut short means to accelerate. If you cut something short, it means that you accelerated. Maybe it was supposed to take 10 hours, but you cut it short. You didn't reduce the work. You did the same work in a cut short time of 1 hour. That simply means you accelerated the rate at which you did it. So if he says that he will cut it short in righteousness, it means he will accelerate it in righteousness. But that righteousness for acceleration is revealed from faith to faith. You have access by faith into the righteousness of God, right? The right standing of God to accelerate your salvation at a pace beyond normal is an expression of His grace. It is His goodness, His the willingness. Nobody is God, so He need not have make unmerited favor available. It is in His righteous character to make unmerited favor available. But you have access into this grace by faith. This grace is made available by righteousness. This righteousness is the means by which He cuts short the work. the cutting short is an acceleration of your advancement. So in the sacrifice of faith, you find yourself accelerating in your walk with God, in your ascendance, from faith to faith, because the righteousness of God that causes accelerations is revealed from faith to faith. With ascending levels of faith, you have speed. So there are different tokens in scripture that you can lay hold onto by faith. And sometimes the Lord stretches the borders of your faith through different experiences you go through. But as you embrace, you say you fight the good fight of faith, you lay hold on eternal life. As you apprehend higher dimensions of faith, then you have greater revelations, higher revelations of the righteousness of God, which makes available the grace of God by which he cuts short your advancement in righteousness, by which he accelerates. So even with that analogy of gravity, you find that as you go higher, the rocket has the tendency to go faster. The higher it goes, the faster it goes. The higher it goes, the faster it goes, until it reaches its destination and it shuts off its engine. But as you go higher, you go faster. As you go higher, you go faster. So with more revelations of, with increasing faith, you have greater revelations. Take, for example, a revelation of the righteousness of God. In one way, one revelation is, David mentions a list of them. Say, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefit, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth thy diseases. He continues to, he who redeemeth thy life from destruction. He said, who crowneth thy years, and thy youth shall be renewed like the eagles. And that is a description of God, where he says, the everlasting God, the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, and neither is weary. It's a capacity of God. So now, there are certain things we know of God that he's willing to do, and we have faith. So there are certain things that some people will hear of God and they don't believe he's willing to do it. In all righteousness, they believe, no, this one will God will do, but this one is not his way. That's why David apprehended some things. He said to Moses that by my name Jehovah I did not show up to Abraham. So now you can see that I can do some things. Abraham did not know that God can split the Red Sea. He knew that God can give a baby. He knew that God can give promises. He knew that God can lead. But he did not know certain things about God. Yet he believed. And so on. David apprehended another dimension of God that Moses did not. That's why, with all fear and reverence in my heart, afraid not to say what is wrong, I somehow imagine in my mind that if it was David that was in Moses' position, David, for all you care, may have entered the promised land. Because somehow David apprehended another thing of God. Moses knew some things of God, but he just believed that there are some things that, you know, if God says it like this, I cannot shake it. David, he knows that God can say, oh, but he knows another thing, and he would hold on to that. That's why I say the righteousness of God is revealed. The character of God and his willingness to afford certain dimensions of grace. Not grace to condone iniquity, but grace to assist you in some ways that are past finding out. That's why you talk about the peace of God that passeth all understanding. So there's an assistance, there's a character of God to do certain things. That makes it salvation belonging to God. In the saving ministry of God towards us, there are certain things he's willing to do that you may not think he's willing to do, but it is revealed from faith to faith. When you apprehend it in faith, you believe it, and you see the result in your life. So he will come and say, this thing, do you believe that I can, like he was ministering to me one time, there's a spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. But the one in the middle, the spirit of the Lord, there is a particular, you can be wise. Ahithophel had counsel. But
Jesus, having the same counsel, can use the counsel in a particular way that is unique to him. That is his character definition. Having wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, he mixes it in a manner that is the spirit of the Lord. So he said, just as somebody can be imparted with faith, imparted with wisdom, imparted with counsel, somebody can be imparted with the spirit of the Lord. Like he actually just imprints himself upon you. And so it was there in my heart. I'm like, child, since then, my prayer is, Lord, impart me with the spirit of the Lord. Like, especially with, you know, let me not say that. Impart me with the spirit of the Lord. Let me say, especially with a sister who had a very nice dream that I had become like Jesus Christ. I don't know how many people remember that dream. Now, it's not about me now, but the fact that it was a conference environment and it's an opportunity that is available for everyone. The fact that it is seen in that dimension only opened the mind more to the fact that I can be looking at Salau, but I bear witness. You know, they say the spirit bear witness with the spirit that. So my spirit, the spirit bears witness with my spirit that this is Jesus Christ. I'm looking at him, but I'm looking at Jesus Christ. So I begin to pray and say, Lord, impart me with your spirit. So now I'm hearing, impart me with my spirit. Then the Lord now comes. And I'm praying in tongues, I'm praying in tongues, I'm praying in tongues. And he just passes that verse through my life. Believest thou that I can do this? Yea, Lord. And then you just begin to. So now, yea, Lord is the new prayer. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. And you just keep holding on. So people will begin to have certain kinds of growth that do not make sense. Because it has been cut short in righteousness. Advancement that is beyond protocol. And that is according to the dimension of faith. A lot more can be said. There is digging deep into speaking in tongues and understanding. Well, we spoke about it last week, but I think the Lord will brood upon the things He has said to us. But it's not, you know how you can hear something and it's like, oh, this is nice, in the sweet by and by, as we go by, you know, the Lord will help us to be faithful in these things. We don't have time. We don't have time. I know it sounds strange, but by the time you understand what the beast represents, the image of the beast, and the understanding is clear in your mind, and you look at current affairs and you see how it's evolving, you observe the activities of certain persons in the world, and you see what is going on, then you would see that, hey, we don't have time. You don't have time. Now, imagine Elijah had not lent the voice of God and famine came. He would just perish. Because it is not a normal thing to say the ravens should give you food. Ravens don't like to share food. Now, the ravens is the one that will use to give you the bread. Go to the brook. You need to hear the voice of, there are certain dimensions of the oppressions of God that you need to be used to survive. Amen. The times that are coming. Amen. I had a dream, which I've said many times, where I was looking at, I came into the house and two persons were crying. And I was wondering why they're crying. They pointed at the TV, the weather forecast. I looked at the TV and I saw the map. And I saw numbers representing temperature. And I saw one number, -109 degrees. I'm like, Jesus. And then I woke up and the nurse says, pray that your flight be not in the Sabbath or in the weakness. Say, for them shall be great tribulation. But though that is the environment, the people who would be able to have some measure of sustenance and excellence, it says, those who know their God shall be strong and do exploit, are the people who have learned to operate with another principle. In James, he said, building up yourself upon your most holy faith. Before that, he said, there are a body of people who are sensual, having not the spirit. He said, but ye build up yourself. Meaning, don't be sensual, have the spirit. Don't operate by your five senses. So many times I look at myself and how often I am carrying out decisions according to my five senses. I feel like this, I see like this, I hear like this, I think like this, so I will. It's a problem. Because that is the very realm that will be attacked. Yet he said, build up yourself. So when you pray in the spirit, you afford yourself to depart farther and farther away from your senses. But there are certain levels of ascendance that we need to have in order to survive. But the Lord has come and is willing to give grace and help. But we need to engage it through faith. And through faith, enter into higher dimensions. Have our work with God accelerated, cut short in righteousness. And he says that we shall be to the praise of the glory of his grace. The glory of his grace. The praise of the glory of his grace. Because the dimensions you will find yourself in, because you know it is a miracle that got you there, you cannot boast. Because if you dare boast, he will resist you and you will be cast. It will be like Satan, you will be cast down far away. So there is a measure of carefulness that comes upon you. Yes, you would have supernatural speed, but you cannot accrue it to self, because if you do, you will fall. Because the pedestal you're standing on is the favor of God. So, I believe the Lord will multiply his word in our hearts. Let us begin to pray. Let us begin to talk to the Lord. Let us receive the help of God. Let us receive an impartation of the Spirit of the Lord. The means whereby God can beam himself upon us. Let us receive it. Let us ask for help in the place of prayer. Let us ask for help to offer to him the sacrifices of God.